It's been said that a business is only as strong as its weakest location. You know that your branch offices, retail locations, and distribution centers are at the forefront of your business, creating revenue and driving customer experience every day. That's why Comcast Business has built solutions that are uniquely positioned to empower all your locations with a robust network and applications that help them operate as seamlessly as HQ. Learn more about how to get all your locations up to speed at comcastbusiness.com/enterprise.
Your Money Briefing. Money and market stories from the Wall Street Journal.
I'm J.R. Whalen in New York. What's changed since the end of the financial crisis in 2008? What stayed the same? We'll take a look in a moment, but first, these money items you need to know. U.S. consumer confidence fell in March, dragged down by consumers' perception of current and future economic conditions in light of recent stock market gyrations. Tuesday's report showed consumers remained optimistic toward the state of the labor market, which has shown strength recently with the unemployment rate parked at a 17-year low and the economy adding jobs at a steady pace. Banks can expect to see significant further relief from post-crisis rules in 2018 after the final Trump-appointed leader is seated at the nation's banking regulators later this spring. Jelena McWilliams is currently set to take over the top spot of the FDIC, and when that happens, the FDIC, the Federal Reserve, and the Office of the Comptroller of the Currency will be able to move ahead on things like adjusting capital and liquidity requirements, also easing restrictions on short-term consumer loans, and relaxing the so-called Volcker Rule, which bars banks from speculative trading or buying into potentially risky investment funds. And U.S. investment banks in London have some of the biggest gender pay gaps in the country, reflecting long-established cultures of men dominating the top trading and advisory roles, and women working in junior posts or as administrators. Women are paid about half as much as men in the main U.K. investment banking units of Bank of America, J.P. Morgan Chase, and Morgan Stanley, marking the widest gaps among around 40 global financial companies that have reported pay data to the U.K. government. All three banks pledged to improve the figures by supporting and encouraging women to climb their way to senior positions and welcoming back women who leave the workforce to have children. This is your Money Briefing from The Wall Street Journal.
You've heard it a million times. Location, location, location. Well, that's because location's important, and it's the reason this ad, targeted at you, isn't located before a podcast about the history of ice dancing. If you own a business, you know the importance of location, which is why you need a realtor, a member of the National Association of Realtors, a real estate expert who can help you find the perfect location to grow. So get what your business needs. Get Realtor.
Welcome back, everybody. Almost daily stock market volatility. A new president, some say, is untested in the face of economic uncertainty. Cries of income inequality. That's not necessarily today's news. That was the state of the country 10 years ago at the end of the financial crisis. Wall Street Journal reporter Cesare Podkol joins us to look back and look ahead. So Cesare, in 10 years, the stock market has seen an astronomical run-up. But it's interesting that bank stocks were stuck somewhere between neutral and drive until President Trump took office.
Yeah, it's a very interesting chart. They were kind of lagging the overall market, and then President Trump got elected, promising to take apart the Dodd-Frank financial overhaul bill that Congress put in place to deal with many of the excesses from before the financial crisis. And once that happened, you know, bank stocks had a big pop, and now they're above where they were in as of early await.
But the big banks are still very powerful, and many feel they did not learn lessons from essentially looking death in the face and paying $110 billion in penalties and then reforming their ways.
Yeah, certainly you can make the case that the big banks are more powerful in Washington than ever. I mean, some of the highest echelons of government are now filled with former employees of firms like Goldman Sachs, and the revolving door, which was always a problem in Washington, seems to be spinning faster these days. So we detailed that in our comparison of what's where we are 10 years later. And so, yeah, there's people like Phil Angelides, who chaired the official government inquiry into the causes of the financial crisis, who say that this is not an industry that has really examined itself and changed its ways in fundamental ways. In many ways, it's sort of business as usual on Wall Street and in many ways in Washington.
Now, you could say looking at 2008 versus today, the more things change, the more they stay the same. A lot of money's flooded the market and the economy, though the recovery has really been uneven since 2008, median household income only up 5.3%.
Yeah, when you adjust for inflation, median household income has barely budged since 2008. And the stimulus that the Federal Reserve created to help get the economy going again, which was trillions of dollars of bond buying, that helped drive up asset prices and certainly helped, fuel the recovery in real estate. But, you know, if you think about it, the wealthy are more often own real estate and assets like stocks and bonds in a portfolio. So it really helped them much more so than people on the bottom end of the scale who, you know, lost their jobs. And the result is that 10 years later, income inequality has widened in this country.
You know, there's a quote in the feature in the Wall Street Journal you provided reporting on, and that's the people are not going to be that stupid again, making ill-advised decisions that could get them into financial trouble. And yet some point to the current Bitcoin craze and say, has anybody learned their lesson?
Yeah, it's a good question. The more things change, the more they stay the same. The interesting thing about Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies in general is that they were born out of this distrust in the government and the financial sector that took hold after the crisis. So in a way that there's sort of a direct link between that and the crisis. As to whether people will learn their lesson this time, you know, it remains to be seen. But there's never going to be an end to crises. You know, there's always going to be other crises. And one of the things we try to do in this feature is to look at where the areas of risks are. And certainly cryptocurrencies are one area that many people are looking at as a potential bubble.
And there's another crisis on the horizon, some dark clouds moving in that a lot of folks may not really focus on that you do in the story. And that is the student loan problem.
Yeah. The student loan problem is really one of the most fascinating aspects of all of this. If you look at the overall trend in consumer debt since the 2008 crisis, credit cards took a dip and aren't coming back. Auto loans, fell and then picked up. Everything had its sort of, peak and trough. But then if you look at student loans, it just kept going up. And nothing ever, it just never took a pause. And so it's now over $1.3 trillion, since the crisis. Student loans have overtaken credit cards and auto loans. It's really a huge area of borrowing for young people, and many of them can't repay these loans. So that's a huge potential red flag for consumers and the economy coming up. And it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out, because it definitely has many similarities to the subprime crisis from pre-2008.
And you also look at another red flag, and that is the regulatory business here in this country. And has it reformed enough to the point where it could oversee and project a crisis coming and be able to handle it?
So we do have an Office of Financial Research at the U.S. Treasury now that's supposed to keep an eye out for potential risks in the economy. We had a story, our colleague in Washington, Ryan Tracy, had a great story on that the other day. And, and Washington in general is trying to keep an eye out for potential risks. One of the risks they do flag is cybersecurity, which is something we didn't have to deal with 10 years ago. So Washington is more on the lookout for these potential risks, but the weakness may be in actually, getting ahead of them and putting together procedures, rules, protocols, whatever, to deal with them. So I think that's still where the weakness lies. But in general, there is more oversight. There's more, the Federal Reserve has more bank field examiners out there. Banks are certainly under more scrutiny. Whether that's going to stay there or be dismantled in this regulatory, rollback that some in Washington have been promising is anyone's guess. But, it's definitely, banks are definitely under more scrutiny today than they were 10 years ago.
And speaking of cybersecurity, there's still is a crisis of trust in the economy. Just look at the Equifax mess and the data breach.
That's one of the big potential areas of risk, is companies have more data than ever before on individuals, and it's not quite clear that they are good at safeguarding that. We've seen that last year with the Equifax breach, and now Facebook is, of course, embroiled in the controversy regarding its data privacy measures. So this is a clear indication that, 10 years later, trust in the financial sector isn't, back. That's one line that hasn't kind of made its way back up to, pre-2008. If you look at bank stocks, they've soared. But consumers' trust in the financial sector in general is still not there.
All right. That is Wall Street Journal reporter Cesare Podkul joining us here in our studio. Cesare, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen in New York for The Wall Street Journal.